T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Now, it's Chris Harrington on the Grizzlies, Memphis, and more on 92.9's Jeff Calkins Show. Presented by Church Health, caring for people all around us. Give today at churchhealth.org.
Chris Harrington joins me now. Chris, what are we listening to?
Blues for Martin Luther King by Chicago blues piano player Otis Spann.
All right, we're going to get to today's game in a moment. Before I do that, I saw you celebrating the Dallas Cowboys loss on Twitter. It's Lakers and Cowboys. Are they just out of principle?
Well, Yankees are at the top of the list. right. But yeah, I don't know. Unless you're from one of those cities, I don't know how you root for those teams. Yeah.
Right. It's like rooting for General Motors, right? It's that's what they say. So anyway, yeah, I was happy to see him lose to, and it is funny how it works. You're just instinctive. You root for those teams to lose. Okay, so that happened over the weekend, and then the Grizzlies finally lost. Were you in attendance Friday?
I was. I wrote something, sort of.
I saw you wrote something. Yeah.
I probably should not have written anything. I mean, I went with the intent. It seemed like an opportunity to write a game column, which I don't really do much.
Yeah.
And it was a terrible game that was not really worth writing about. And so I did a quick, especially at 9 p.m. start on a Friday night. So I just did a quick little like Harper's Index ripoff on the win streak.
Yeah, I read it. I have it in front of me. I've tweeted it out, and I urge people to read it. I'll talk about that in a moment. What was the crowd like, by the way?
I thought it was good. I mean, I'm just not at the point where I'm looking right. Obsessing on the crowd every game.
No, I'm not either, but I just wondered if it does uptick during this winning streak, you know, if there's some mounting enthusiasm.
I think the mood and the atmosphere has had an uptick. So, yeah, I assume that the actual attendance has, too.
All right, so what happened?
You know, I do think Dallas has some specific matchup stuff that should be concerning to the Grizzlies. You know, I mean, they've got a pretty good lead on them now, but in terms of head-to-head, I think, you know, I would not welcome a playoff series with that team. But I think beyond that, which I do think is a factor, I mean, Dallas may have won that game regardless, but the Grizzlies were clearly on fumes in that game. Like, it was palpable that they were on fumes in that game. And so, you know, second night of a back-to-back, which Dallas was not on, late tip, eighth game in 12 days. At some point, you just got to run out of gas. You know, they're not going to be like, you know, the Jerry West Lakers and win 30 in a row or whatever that number was.
You wrote, there are better ways for a winning streak to end than at home on national television and in the mud. And then this clause, especially against the division rival most likely to catch you in the standings. You obviously believe that's what they are. Why?
Well, I mean, just by default. I mean, the Rockets aren't going to. I mean, there's only four other teams in the division.
Right.
I mean, the Rockets aren't going to catch them. Dallas is the one closest to you, and they have the best player. And so, I mean, I don't know who else it would be.
Division. You're focusing on the division, not four. Not for fourth,
yeah,
but for the division.
I had thought about, my hope was to write a column that night about sort of John Morant, but the idea that John Morant is having the season Luka Doncic was supposed to be having.
Right.
From getting into the MVP race, where Luka, by the way, was the number one top of the odds list favorite for MVP before the season started, from getting into the MVP race to more than likely taking his spot as starter in the All-Star game, to potentially taking his spot in first team All-NBA, to winning the division, which the Grizzlies, which may not matter anymore, but the Grizzlies have literally never done. The Grizzlies are one of two teams out of 30 in the NBA that have never won their division. So that's what I was going to write that night, but then it felt like a stupid thing to write given the game, right. So I didn't write it.
Do you believe they're also the most likely to catch them for fourth?
It's a little bit of a jumble there. I'm still not totally out on Denver, but I think they need to get Jamal Murray back. That's the one team I could see going on a run like the last month or two of the season. But I don't believe in the Clippers at all. And so you're talking about Dallas, Denver, Lakers.
Lakers got blown out again over the weekend, and LeBron is apologizing now to the fan base. But it is – so if the Grizzlies wind up finishing fourth, they will obviously host a playoff series against the team that finishes fifth. You don't
Correct.
Want that to be Dallas.
No, I mean, if it means you're the fourth seed, I'll take whoever, right?
Right.
But it wouldn't be my preference.
Right.
I think, A, it would be a less entertaining series. That just team plays so slow and heavy. Under Jason Kidd, they're really a defensive team. And Luka Doncic, you get into that muddy kind of game, and I think Luka is someone. I think a Denver series would be a more elegant series to watch. It would be better basketball, and I think probably you'd have a better chance to win it.
And then, what's the particular matchup that is? Is it that? Is it Luka and the mud? What is it that would trouble you?
Well, I think Dallas. I mean, the Grizzlies thrive on creating chaos and causing turnovers and getting into sort of an up-and-down game. Dallas is sort of a low-turnover team. I think their defense is such that I just, it just doesn't feel like it would be that great of a matchup. And frankly, Luka Ja head-to-head has gone in Luka's favor. They both missed a lot of games, so that was only the game this weekend was only the fifth time they played head-to-head. Luka's 4-1 in head-to-head games.
All right, you did do this index. You went through the streak by the numbers. A lot of fascinating things here. I thought it's kind of amazing. 22 different players played during this winning streak. I would have a hard time naming them, I'll tell you that.
Well, it was the era of these COVID fill-in games.
Right.
So, like, John Teske's getting in the games. He got into one game to, like, shoot two free throws and sit back down. And Dakota Matias and, like, some of these guys are getting into games.
And then the 24.2, to pick out some of the other numbers, you can read them all over at the Daily Memphian. I've tweeted it out. The number 24.2 is the Grizzlies' average age weighted by playing time, making them the youngest team to win 11 straight. And that number is much more meaningful than the number that people were throwing out last year about how young the Grizzlies were in the playoffs, because this year they really are using their young players, right? Relying on the young players.
That specific number comes from Elias that the Grizzlies put in their notes, and so I can't really speak to the specific veracity of that. But the larger point is, and I made this point when I did the Cyclist podcast last week, the larger point is that unlike last season when the Grizzlies broke through and become a playoff team, this team is broken through on the backs of its actual youth. Like last season, four of the top five scorers last year were 25 and older, with Ja as the outlier. This year, the top three players on the team, when you consider how often they played and everything else, the top three players on the team have been 22 and 23, and that's Ja, Jaren, and Desmond Bane. And so the heavy lifting this season has been done by their youngest players for the most part. Whereas last season, a lot of it was career year by a late 20s Jonas Valanciunas, career year by a late 20s Kyle Anderson. Like, this is the real youth of the team breaking through. And I wrote back during the summer that's what was going to happen. Not that they would break through, but it would shift to the real youth of the team. What I didn't expect is it would shift to the real youth of the team and they'd be on a 50-something win pace.
Two numbers with Jaren Jackson in your piece. 24.6 is his three-point shooting percentage during the streak. 49 is his stocks. That's steals plus blocks. Moved into second place on the lead WAG stocks list. Past Rudy Gobert. Of course, Rudy was out injured. He trails only Miles Turner. How meaningful are each of those numbers? You think the 24.6 is aberrational, but still sort of interesting. Like, you do want him to get it sorted out, right?
Even if it's aberrational, it's meaningful.
Yeah.
I mean, those are real shots being missed. I think, you know, with Jaron, it's been almost a sort of game of Marco Polo among the different pieces of his skill set.
Right.
Like one pops up and one pops down, and like, or maybe that, you know, maybe the whack-a-mole is what I'm looking at. I don't know, something like that. But, you know, it feels like he's taking turns with the different things. And if he would just put everything together, and by everything, I don't mean things he hasn't done yet.
Right.
I mean things he has literally already done. If he puts it all together, he's an all-star. But he has to sort of put the pieces together. And so the defense he's playing, and I've got tons of notes on this, and maybe I'll write about it at some point. But the defense he's playing is like all NBA defense, like easily. If he would just, you know, get the offense somewhat in line with that, he's an all-star level player easily. The three-point shooting, I think it's going to come back around. I don't know. I'm not convinced it will, you know, necessarily be what it was at its very peak second year. We'll see if that ends up being a norm or an outlier. But I don't think what he's doing this season is a norm at all. And so I think the shooting is the problem. I mean, the thing is, he's been an enormously impactful player even with bad shooting. And so if he can add that to the other stuff he's doing, like, to me, that's what really raises the ceiling on the whole enterprise. As far as the defense stuff, like, the stocks would not be meaningful if he were, like, making defensive plays but not playing good defense, which is possible to do with his both. It's everything across the board this season.
All right, so you got the Bulls today. Bulls have lost three straight. And I don't know, Jeffrey, is the injury report out? Do we know if Zach LaVine or Alex Caruso is playing? But they were blown out by the Nets, blown out by the Warriors, lost a close one to the Celtics. Zach LaVine injured his knee, but the MRI revealed no significant damage. Since Alex Caruso has been out, they've just been woeful defensively, but he is supposed to come back this week. Your thoughts on the Chicago Bulls?
I believe both of those guys are out, and Lonzo Ball is also out. I think all three, their top three guards, I believe, will all be out today. Yeah.
Patrick Williams out, Zach LaVine out, Lonzo out, Caruso out, Derek Jones Jr. out, Javonte Green out, Tyler Clark out. For the Grizzlies, it's going to be Dylan, Killian Tilly, and Sam Merrill.
Killian Tilly is in protocol. So that would strike me as an advantage for the Grizzlies, Chris.
Yeah, it's a pretty big one. I think Caruso in particular not being there to guard Ja Morant is a very good thing for the Grizzlies, especially with Ja having a day's rest, couple days rest, really. So I think, you know, it's well set up. You know, we'll see what happens.
Right.
Nothing is guaranteed, but it is well set up for a big Ja Morant game. If he's going to have Kobe White, actually, he'll probably have the rookie, whose name I can't pronounce, Dosunmu or whatever,
right,
on Ja, who I think is a big, strong, like, good defender, but is also a rookie. But you get that guard rotation without Caruso, and then you got Nikola Vucevic at the back line, who's not really much of a rim protector. This is a recipe for Ja Morant on national TV, coming off that sort of embarrassing loss on ESPN. My guess is that you're going to see Ja full throttle today.
And then finally, you have the MLK festivities, and today they are honoring. And by the way, this is being carried. The symposium is being broadcast on Bally's TV before the game, and it's Muggsy Bogues. It is Elvin Hayes and Allen Houston. Was Allen Hayes, Elvin Hayes before your time, the Big E before your time, did you see him play basketball?
I did not see him play basketball.
Yeah, and do you have any?
He was more of a late 60s, 70s.
70s,
player,
he was a 70s
right?
guy. I remember him, yeah. And do you have any particular memories of Muggsy Bogues or Allen Houston?
I mean, yeah, just as a basketball fan. I mean, obviously, Muggsy Bogues is one of the more entertaining. I don't know what none of this has anything to do with Martin Luther King.
Right.
Muggsy Bogues is one of the more entertaining players just because no one else looked like him. And it
right.
wasn't just he was short. He wasn't like Spud Webb, Earl Boykins. He was short and sort of stocky and sort of strong. And there's this little bowling ball out there. So his name was Muggsy Bogues. And so
his name was Muggsy Bogues.
A very memorable player. Allen Houston, one of the better, like, you know, sort of smooth two-guard shooters of this generation. Like, he's not quite Ray Allen, but, like, definitely all-star-level shooter. And so, yeah, as part of my 90s NBA fandom, certainly, you know, they were both meaningful players.
Chris, thank you very much. I will see you down there, I suspect. Appreciate it.
Thanks.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.